Bible and turn to Revelation chapter number 1. Revelation chapter number 1. And that's where we were last Wednesday night. Revelation chapter 1. Now, we're not doing an extensive study of the book of Revelation. But what we are doing is a study of the seven churches that are found in Revelation chapter 2 and chapter 3. That's what we were doing. We started that last Wednesday night. Now, we haven't got to the churches yet, and we may not get to them tonight, but I do want to clear up a few things from last Wednesday night, and hopefully we can move on next Wednesday night, hopefully, and start with the church of Ephesus and the following church and so on throughout the other Wednesday nights. And we'll do a complete study of the seven churches. We dealt with last Wednesday night how all of these scriptures, even the whole Bible, you can take it historically. You can have an application of spiritual application. Then you have a doctrinal application of all these verses. And so you can do the same thing with these seven churches. You'll notice, look at chapter 1. I want to show you this. Look at chapter 1 and verse number 13. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed the garment down to the foot, and girded about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hair was white like wool, white as snow, and his eyes were a flame of fire. We know that to be Jesus Christ. He's in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. If you'll look in verse 20, it'll tell you who the seven golden candlesticks are, and that is the seven churches. So in chapter 1, Jesus starts out in the midst of the seven churches. Then if you'll turn the page and look to chapter 3 and verse 20, you'll find where Jesus, when it gets all said and done after the seven churches, verse 20 says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and sup with him and he with me." He starts out in the midst, and before the rapture of the church takes place, he's on the outside knocking, trying to get in. And that's a perfect picture of what's going on in churches today. When the church age started, back at the cross, when the church age started, Jesus Christ was in the midst. He was in the midst. People loved the Lord and all of these kinds of things. And then the church of Ephesus lost their first love. And then the so on. It got worse and worse as time has gone on. And I got news for you. It's not going to get any better. It's going to get worse and worse until the Lord comes. When the Lord comes, this thing's going to get better. But it's not going to get any better by electing some new president or a new Congress or all that kind of thing. Vote right, do right, I'm all for that. But I'm telling you, don't look for anything any better than Jesus Christ coming. And and then by the time, now, some of you look at this and go, well, we're going to talk about this again. It's the rapture of the church. This is what we're waiting on, these two little red arrows. You say, why you got them drawn like that? Well, we're going up to meet him in the air. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 1 Corinthians 15. We're going to meet him in the air. Jesus is not coming to this earth. We're going to meet him in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. And then while this earth is going through 7 years of tribulation. This is the 7 years of tribulation. This is where the Antichrist is going to come and reveal himself, and that thing is 7 years long. Then after the 7 years, Jesus Christ, we go up with him to meet him in the air, we go over, some other things happen, we're going to get on white horses, then he's coming back to this earth, and he's going to set foot on the Mount of Olives, Zechariah chapter 14. And this is the day of the Lord. Now this is what I want to talk to you about. Look at verse number 9. I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom of patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. Notice verse 10. This is where we left off, and I don't want to leave anything hanging because I didn't have time to really clarify it. Verse 10 says, John talking, he says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet. And it said, I am Alpha and Omega and so on and so forth. Fourth. Now, notice what he says, verse 10. I, John, was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Now, you can spiritualize that And how many of you ever heard people pray? And I don't even know if you say this. I may have said it before. Probably have. When you pray, we come into church on Sunday and you say, "Lord, appreciate you bringing us in here on this fine Lord's Day." Yeah. You know, we've heard that. Yeah. And that's fine. There's no problem with that. A lot of people think that in verse 10, John was caught up in the Spirit on Sunday. Because it says he was caught up in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. And everybody knows the Lord's Day is Sunday. Well, I got news for you. Wouldn't you think that every day is the Lord's Day? Amen. What's wrong with today being the Lord's Day? What's wrong with in the morning being the Lord's Day? What's wrong with Friday being the Lord's Day? Every day is the Lord's Day. Sunday's not the Lord's Day. Every day is the Lord's Day. So this right here is talking about something different. John was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. Now you say, in the Spirit. Now you know good and well he's not talking to the church, because if you're saved, you are in the Spirit. You stay in the Spirit. You may not have a whole lot, the Holy Spirit may not have a whole lot of you, but you are in the Spirit if you're saved. Well, now John was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. You say, "Preacher, what does it mean right here when we're reading about in the Spirit on the Lord's Day in the book of Revelation?" I can tell you this. It means this, and I'll prove it to you. I'll tell you what it means and we'll prove it. He picks John up. John, we did this last week, I know, but we're just going to clarify. Right here. Remember? There he is, about 90 A.D. There's John. Look at him. And he's in the Spirit. He got a smile on his face. He's in the Spirit. He got hair. Not too long. Not too long. And there he is. He's on the Isle of Patmos. 90 A.D., 100 A.D., whatever he wants, 96 A.D., whatever. There he is on the Isle of Patmos. Well, what the Lord does, before he can get him to write the book of Revelation, so he picks John up. Here we go. Now, his body stays over here on Patmos. You with me?
Yes, sir.
Now, some people have a problem with this. They have a problem with, "Oh, there's no way he could be on Patmos and over here on the day of the Lord too." Well, it's happened before. Now, some of you may not believe it, but it has happened before. It possibly could have happened in Jonah's day. You never know. And he picked his body up and he brought him over. And guess what he's looking down seeing? I was on the Spirit on the Lord's day. And I saw those things which were, which are, and what shall be. There he's standing on the Lord's day. Picked him up. Now, you're saying, "Oh, wasn't the Lord's day a 24-hour period?" No. The Lord's day. How many overheard this? Now, me and Mark grew up together. Think about this. If I said this, what would you think? Back in me and Mark's day, we could dunk the basketball. Well, I could dunk the basketball. Back in our day. Now, I'm not talking about a 24-hour period. I see Carl back there. He knows back in my day how good I was in basketball. He knows that. If he could testify to that. Back in my day. I'm not talking about a 24-hour period. I'm talking about an extensive period of time. All right? The Lord's day. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Well, what is that talking about? Okay, let's look. Take your Bible and look at Joel, the book of Joel. That's in the Old Testament, book of Joel. Real quick, the book of Joel. It's toward the end of the Old Testament. Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, somewhere along in there, I think. Yeah. Hosea, Joel, Amos. Obadiah, Jonah, somewhere all in there. How much? 931, if you have an old Schofield reference Bible. All right. Joel chapter 2. Is everybody there? I still hear some pages turning. Joel chapter number 2. Now, let's think about this. Joel chapter number 2, verse number 1. Blow ye the trumpet in Zion. Now, Zion is always in reference to Jerusalem, the millennial. All right? Right here. The kingdom. Now, blow ye the trumpet in Zion and sound an alarm in the holy, in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble for the what?
The day of the Lord cometh.
The day of the Lord cometh, for it is nigh at hand. Now, if he's talking about this, the day of the Lord, the day of the Lord, second coming of Christ, the day of the Lord. Now watch, the day of the Lord. And it goes on down there, verse 2, a day of darkness, gloominess, day of clouds, and so on and so forth. Oh, let's look down here. Verse number 9. They shall run to and fro in the city. They shall run upon the wall. They shall climb upon the houses. They shall enter in the windows like a thief. The earth shall quake before them. The heavens shall tremble. The sun and the moon shall be dark. And the stars shall withdraw their shining. That's the second coming. Matthew 24. Right there. Day of the Lord. All right. Verse 11. And the Lord shall utter his voice before his army. For his camp is very great, for he is strong that execute this word. For the day of the Lord is great and very terrible, and who can abide it?
Amen.
Day of the Lord. Look at verse 31. The sun shall be turned into darkness, and the moon into blood, before the great and terrible, what? Day of the Lord come. You say, I don't know. All right, verse 32. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. For in Mount Zion and in where? Shall be deliverance, as the Lord hath said, and in the remnant whom the Lord shall call. This is the day of the Lord. Tribulation and all this, I'll tell you what. Let me do this right here. The day of the Lord. Say, preacher, what's the day of the Lord consist of? Well, I'll tell you. There's the day of the Lord. That's the Lord's day. That's when he's going to have a heyday and he's going to bring in. You say, why is he letting all this stuff go on? Just hang on. The Lord's going to have his day.
Amen.
Lord's going to have his day.
Right.
You say, preacher, all these people getting away with such and such and such and such and such and such. No, they're not getting away with it. Yes, they are. They've been getting away with it. Oh, just hang on. The Lord is going to have his day.
Amen.
Just hang on. It's coming to a city near you, and that's the day of the Lord. Now, take your Bible and look at Zechariah. Keep going right. Zechariah. You got Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah. 14. Zechariah 14. 978. Old Schofield reference. Zechariah 14. Verse 1. Behold the what? The day of the Lord cometh, and thy spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee. All right? When's the day of the Lord? All right? For I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle. And the city shall be taken, and the houses rifled, and the women ravished, and half of the city shall go forth into captivity, and the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city. Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations, and when he fought in the day of battle. That's the battle of Armageddon. Verse 4. And his feet shall stand in that day. What day? Day of the Lord. Upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east. And the Mount of Olives shall cleave the midst thereof toward the east, toward the west. There shall be a very, very great valley. Half of the mountain shall be removed toward the north, half of it toward the south. So on and so forth. Look at verse number 9. And the Lord shall be king over all the earth.
Amen.
He shall be king over the earth. When? In that day shall there be one Lord, and His name one.
Amen.
The day of the Lord. So now we know the day of the Lord consists of the second coming. The day of the Lord consists of His kingdom. It engulfs the battle of Armageddon. The day of the Lord. Where was John? He was picked up and taken over here. And he said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day.
Amen.
I looked over here. I saw 7 tribulational churches. I looked over here and saw the end. I saw that which was, that which is, and that which is to come. That's what he saw. Take your Bible and look at, I tell you what, you pretty well, you got that down. You say, how is that going to be possible? Take a fella, leave his body in Patmos, and take him in the Spirit and move him over somewhere else. Well, it's happened before. Take your Bible and turn back to your left from Zechariah. Go to Ezekiel. Go to Ezekiel real quick. Ezekiel chapter 3. Ezekiel chapter 3. The Lord can pretty well do anything He wants to do. Ezekiel chapter 3. Look down to verse. About verse 12 or so. Ezekiel 3, verse 12. Ezekiel talking. Then the Spirit took me up, and I heard behind me a voice of great rushing, saying, blessed be the glory of the Lord from His place. I heard also the noise, the wings, the living creatures that touched me one another, and the noise of the wheels over against them, and the noise of the great rushing. So the Spirit lifted me up and took me away. I went in bitterness in the heat of the spirit of my spirit, but the hand of the Lord was strong upon me. Then I came to them, the captivity, so on and so forth, and there you go. Took him up. Ezekiel, same thing happened to him. Picked him up, took him over to let him see something forward. Now watch this. Turn Ezekiel, look at chapter 8. Now this is a funny one. Ezekiel 8. This is funny. I thought it was. Ezekiel 8, verse 2. Ezekiel again. Then I beheld, and lo, a likeness of the appearance of fire. From the appearance of his loins, even downward, fire. And from his loins, even upward, as the appearance of brightness, as the color of amber. Verse 3. And he put forth the form of a hand, and took me by a lock of my head. And the Spirit lifted me up between the earth and the heaven, and brought me in the visions of God to Jerusalem, to the door of the inner gate that looked toward the north, where was a seat of the image of jealousy, which provoked to jealousy, or provoketh to jealousy. You know what that Bible just told us? The Lord reached down, picked Ezekiel up by the hair of the head. You ever wonder, have you ever said that? My mama used to say it all the time. Boy, I'm going to pick you up by the hair of the head. Where'd we get that at? Got it out of the Bible.
Yeah.
We say a lot of stuff we got out of the Bible.
Yes, sir.
Picked up Ezekiel by the hair of the head. Picked him up. Now, that's funny to me. I don't know about y'all. That's funny to me. Picked him up by the hair of the head and just took him. I wonder if he did John that way. Just picked him up by the hair of the head. Look. Look down, John. Look. See all them churches over there? Look, look. Look at the day of the Lord, John. Look. John, that Lord, that's funny. I tell you what, look at one more. 2 Corinthians. Look at 2 Corinthians. Let's get a little New Testament on it. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And verse number 1. The Apostle Paul is writing. He said, "It is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord." Verse 2. "I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body, I cannot tell, or whether out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. Such a one caught up to the third heaven." Now, there are three heavens. There's the first heaven where the birds fly. Then the second heavens where the sun, moon, and stars are. That's the atmosphere, outer space. Then the third heavens where God abode or abides still today. And so I believe this was Apostle Paul. Now he says, "I knew a man in Christ." Notice where he says, "whether in the body, out of the body, cannot tell." John, Isle of Patmos, took him in the Spirit on the Lord's day. His body stayed over here on Patmos, but he was in the Spirit, and probably John could say, "I'm really not for sure. I mean, everything I saw was real, but I don't know if I was in the body or out of the body. I cannot tell. Only God knows that." You see. Now watch. Verse 3. "And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. How that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such a one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in my infirmities." And so on and so forth he talks about. So, this is what I believe. I believe the Apostle Paul was talking about himself, and the Lord picked him up, took him to the third heaven, and showed him some stuff. He brought him back down and says, "You can't tell what you saw." Now he let John write about some stuff, but he told Paul, "You can't write about that." Unspeakable things. Unspeakable words. He heard things in heaven that he couldn't even speak of. Caught up in the third heaven. That's an amazing thing. Amazing thing. You wouldn't be surprised if that might have happened in the Old Testament someplace. Like maybe Jonah. Jonah in the belly of the whale. His body was sort of like John's on the Isle of Patmos. But he was in the Spirit and was taken to somewhere else and shown some stuff. Maybe not. But it happened to a bunch of other people. It could have happened to John. He might have got a glimpse of hell. God just took him up by the hair of the head. "Look, Jonah, look down there. If you don't go tell them people down in Nineveh, this is where they're coming to. Now, I'm going to put you back in your body, in the whale, and I'm going to make the whale sick. He's going to spit you up, and you hit the trail running." Jonah comes up running. "Repent, repent, repent. I've already seen it. I repent."
Amen.
It could have happened.
Amen.
Revelation chapter 1. I'm over. Revelation chapter 1. The main thing I want to show you is the day of the Lord. In verse 10, John did not get happy. Start shouting and throwing song books on Sunday. "I was in the Spirit on the Lord today." Boy, bless God, John. Well, boy, he was happy in church on Sunday. Boy, he was really happy. He was in the Spirit on Sunday. It's not what it says. He was in the Spirit. God took him over. Took him over here to the day of the Lord and showed him. Now watch. And I'm going to be done. I ended with this last time, and I just wanted to clarify. This is what he said. Verse 10. Let me get the Bible where I'm going to stand over here in the day of the Lord, on the Lord's day. I'm in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Here I am. But my body is over here on Patmos in 96 AD. That's where my body is. But I'm in the Spirit on the Lord's day over here. And heard behind me a great voice as a trumpet. I'm Alpha and Omega, first and the last, so on and so forth. What thou seest, write in the book. And send it to the seven churches. He names the seven churches. Verse 12. And I turned to see the voice which spake with me. And being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. Seven golden candlesticks are who? I turned to see. Seven golden candlesticks right there. And in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks, Son of Man, clothed, his head, so on and so forth, and this, that, and the other. Verse 19, this is what he said. Write the things which thou hast seen. Look. He's standing right here. He's already seen. Has seen. Write them things that you have seen right there. That's Revelation 4, or Revelation 2, all the way to 20. No. 19, second coming. Which thou hast seen. And the things which are. Well, he's standing in the things which are. And the things which shall be hereafter. That's over here. All that right there. In the book of Revelation. Starts the tribulation. Goes all the way to the end of time. And he showed John that in the Spirit on the Lord's day. The day of the Lord. The day of the Lord, folks, is going to be just like Matthew 24 would say, just like Joel 2 say, that great and terrible day. This is where God's going to settle the score. He's going to even up the playing field right here. And you better make sure, if you're in this room right now listening to me, you better make sure you're on the first boatload out of here. And that's at the rapture of the church. And I'm not going to go through the tribulation period, but I am coming back. I'm leaving here like Superman. I'm coming back like the Long Ranger. And I'm going to rule and reign with Him. I hope I'm going to rule. Reign with Him for 1,000 years. You better be on that train. It's the only way to go. Amen. All right.